As I get older, I realize a bit more than ever how much I've come to value kindness. I tend to remember acts of kindness that people have shown me over the years way more than the slights. And I certainly recall the outpouring of kindness and support at difficult times. You know, those crisis moments in our lives, when my dad passed away, when my mother was going through chemotherapy, those acts of kindness I cherish. But I also seem to value those small, ordinary acts of kindness more and more. The offers of help, the messages of support, those everyday acts that show that people care, that you're not alone in this. That's what it tells me in some way, that we're not isolated individuals, that people are connected in some way. And the flip side of this is that I seem to have a hard time forgiving myself for the acts of unkindness that I have done. You know, I may have even confessed them in the Sacrament of Reconciliation, maybe even a long time ago, but I still sometimes have a hard time forgiving myself for having been unkind or even hurtful to people in the past. And it might even make it harder to forgive myself for the unkindness when I think about how often I have been shown kindness, compassion, and yes, mercy. And when I think about how much of a difference that made in my life. In today's gospel, Jesus displays an act of kindness that makes all the difference for this woman who's caught in adultery. This woman who is about to be stoned to death. You know, the Pharisees bring Jesus into this situation in order to test him. Essentially, they're trying to lay a trap for Jesus. If he lets her go, if he says, you know, that she should not be stoned to death for this act, he'll be denounced as refuting the law of Moses. As they say, Moses commanded us that she should be stoned to death. In our day, they'd be ready to accuse Jesus of being, you know, too soft, too liberal, not holding to the truth. But if Jesus does condemn her, his reputation for compassion and mercy is going to be tarnished. He's going to be labeled a hypocrite, and his followers are going to start to see him in a different light. Jesus is not going to fall into this trap, however. He flips the question around so that instead of it being about him judging this woman, it's now about who's going to throw the first stone? Who's going to carry out the sentence? Jesus makes it about the punishment rather than the judgment. Jesus says, "Has no one condemned you?" And the woman says, "No one, sir." And Jesus said, "Neither do I condemn you. Go your way, and from now on, do not sin again." Jesus is not condoning the sin, but rather he's showing kindness and mercy toward the sinner. And in his kindness and his mercy, Jesus gives this woman the opportunity to do something different. To change, to regain her self-respect and her dignity. Jesus' actions are actually life-giving. And in this case, it is literally true that his mercy gave life. In our lives, we're not facing being stoned to death, so it's figuratively true that Jesus' mercy gives us life. Because we all have sinned. We've all been hurtful and unkind, broken promises, lied. We've all judged others and acted self-righteously. We've pointed fingers and acted like hypocrites. Each one of us you know, has been prideful, lustful, acted out of greed or envy. And as I said before, I tend to remember those times in my life way more than the acts of kindness or mercy that I've shown. And yet when we turn to Jesus, his mercy is always there. He does not condone the sin, yet he has not condemned us. He does not condemn us. He will never condemn us. We have been restored to our rightful place in God's house by the Son. You know, in the parable of the prodigal son that we heard last week, the wayward son makes the decision to return home, and he is given a ring. That ring is the symbol that he has been fully restored as a member of the family. Nothing is being withheld from the son. Even though he's wandered far from his father, he's done things that brought him guilt and shame. Even though the son had only hoped to be accepted as a slave in his father's house, he was restored to his place as a son. We have been restored to that relationship of being daughters and sons of our Heavenly Father through Jesus' mercy and his refusal to condemn us. C.S. Lewis, who was an Oxford scholar, a writer in the 20th century, has this great quote. It's a bit long, but it's so apropos that I want to go through this quote. He says, "I remember Christian teachers telling me long ago that I must hate a bad man's actions, but not hate the bad man. Or as they would say, hate the sin, but not the sinner. I used to think this a silly, straw-splitting distinction. How could you hate what a man did and not hate the man? But years later, it occurred to me that there was one man to whom I had been doing this all my life, namely myself. However much I might dislike my own cowardice or conceit or greed, I went on loving myself. There had never been the slightest difficulty about it. In fact, the very reason why I hated the things was that I loved the man. Just because I loved myself, I was sorry to find that I was the sort of man who did those things. I think C.S. Lewis is bang on about why I sometimes have difficulty letting go of my own sins. Because I loved myself, I was sorry to find that I was the sort of man who did those things. Just a little bit further on in the gospel from what we heard today, just a paragraph or two later, Jesus says to those who are questioning him after this incident with the woman, he says, "Very truly I tell you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not have a permanent place in the household. The son has a place there forever. So if the son makes you free, you will be free indeed. If the son makes you free, you will be free indeed." I think I've accepted God's forgiveness, but if there's times when I haven't been able to forgive myself, it's because I've not accepted that Jesus, who has a place forever in the Father's household, has taken me as his brother, and that the Father has truly taken me as his son. I guess it's that I still think I ought to be a slave in God's household, and he's restoring me as his son. The freedom Jesus brings is the freedom from slavery to sin. And it's the freedom to live as a daughter, as a son of the Father. The woman who's freed from the death sentence of stoning is free to rebuild her life, to regain her self-respect, She's free to change and do something positive and worthwhile, to live with the dignity of being God's beloved daughter. This gospel is about Jesus' mercy and his kindness, and what this woman is going to do now that she has been restored to her place in God's household. Just like the story of the prodigal son is about the mercy and kindness shown to the son and his being restored to the father's household. What gratitude will they display for the mercy and the kindness shown to them? How are they going to act going forward? How do we show our gratitude? How do we act when we turn back to the Lord Jesus Christ and are restored as sons and daughters by his mercy and his kindness? What are we free to do now? I started off this homily by talking about acts of kindness and how, as I get older, I seem to appreciate them all the more. I am so grateful for those small acts of kindness, of generosity. It's made me a better person. It actually frees me from being so inward-looking. Those acts of kindness and generosity towards me, they free me from self-centeredness, because I recognize that someone else who did not have to, who probably has their own problems and issues and a busy life, took the time to do something for me. It frees me from that inward attitude, that gaze inward, that narcissism that we can all fall into. But it also frees me to reach out to others with kindness and mercy of my own. The gratitude that I feel compels me to do that. And if that happens in my everyday life, it happens all the more in my spiritual life. When I confront my sins, particularly when I bring them to the Lord in the sacrament of confession, I receive his mercy and his compassion. He restores me as his son. He sets me free. You know, in that first reading today, the Lord says to Isaiah, "Do not remember the former things or consider the things of old." The Father has freed me from the past so I can live like his son. He goes on to say, "I am about to do a new thing. Now it springs forth." Can I do that new thing? Can I live like his son? Can I perceive it? Can I perceive that I am truly his beloved son? Can you perceive that you are truly his beloved? Can you live like a beloved son, like a beloved daughter? Can we offer mercy and compassion ourselves? Can we refuse to condemn others? Can we act out of gratitude? Gratitude for the mercy, the compassion, the kindness that our Lord has shown us.